You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, and please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from Locked On MLB, this network team of local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On MLB podcast today on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us on today's episode of Locked On Phillies, it's actually a Locked On Phillies, Locked On Giants crossover, which, you know, usually don't cross over with teams where the Phillies aren't actively playing or didn't just play, but I think it's quite relevant where these two teams are at right now and the storylines that exist between these two teams as we wrap up the end of the regular season here. Sitting here, you know, no one listening to this can see it, but on the other side of the Zoom screen is Ben Kaspic from Locked On Giants. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the Giants playing tonight. It's been a while that since I've had this kind of feeling with, you know, so few games remaining and the team being not only in it, but, you know, best record in MLB. So, you know, it reminds me of the championship years in the early part of the last decade. So it's exciting and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would just like to say before we get into anything Phillies or Giants related here that I remember the feeling quite well. And it's been, you know, a decade and decade north since this has happened here in Philly. But there is no better feeling in sports, in my opinion, and I think in baseball specifically, because it is such a long season. And I know the Giants are still, you know, viciously vying for the, you know, the National League West crown here. There's a huge difference between being the number one overall seed and having home field basically throughout the playoffs and having to play a one game playoff against whichever team is ends up being the second NL wildcard. But there is something comforting or special or just relaxing about watching your team playing games, knowing that they're already in the playoffs. It's so nice when you clinch early and you have that feeling and you don't have to take it up right until the final day. There's excitement about pennant races, but watching other teams knock themselves out. I think back to 2011 when the Phillies played entirely meaningless games against the Braves and they had to get Charlie Manuel his, you know, his record for most wins in franchise history in a season. They won 102 only to set up a matchup with the Cardinals and lose in five games. But there's something especially comforting about that. Wouldn't you agree?
It's a new experience. Like when the Giants won in 10, 12, and 14, they took it down to at least the last week. And so this was actually the earliest the Giants have ever clinched a postseason berth. So it is odd. And honestly, though, it was like one night of elation and celebration. They did break out the champagne and all that. But given where they are in this NL West race, I think everybody's focus is on this division because people aren't going to be satisfied with making the wild card game around here for better or worse. That's just the reality of it. But yeah, it's definitely nice to know you're going for sure. But at the same time, there's an intense focus on trying to, a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that the Dodgers are such big rivals of the Giants and they've dominated this division every year since the Giants last won the division in 2012. Dodgers have won it every year. So trying to knock that team off is no small task. And so that's kind of taking up everybody's focus at this point.
Yeah. And nor should they be really right. Like, you know, when you're going to have a season where you win 100 games, you should not be satisfied with, I mean, it's just the way the MLB postseason works, but it is a little insane that you could win 100 games and have your season end on one bad night potentially. And that's going to happen to either the Giants. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to end on one bad night, but the potential for that to happen is going to happen. The entire 162 game season is going to come down to one game. I always, you know, five games or a seven game series seems like a small sample size over a 6 month season. One game, I mean, you got to really pull out all the stops just to ensure it doesn't end with one bad night. But, and I also think about to the movie Moneyball because it, you know, kind of shows the 2001-2002, you know, transition into the Oakland A's season. But in 01, I believe it was the A's won 102 games and were a wild card team because the Mariners won 116 games that year. And I believe they're one of, if not the best wild card teams of all time in the wild card era. And I know we've expanded to one more wild card team here since. But one of these two teams has a chance to even be better record wise than that team was back in 2001 and still be a wild card team. So quite honestly, it is kind of nuts that this could happen. It also adds, just from a baseball fan perspective, an interesting possibility of, well, what if the Giants, you probably know off the top of your head, I do not. What if the Giants and Dodgers do draw a tie here after 162 games? They would then have to play an NL West championship game just to avoid playing in that wild card game. Do you happen to know where that game would be played?
It would be in San Francisco on account of the Giants winning the season series 10-9.
So 10-9.
The Giants
right?
have played the Dodgers stuff 10-9. They've played that team tough historically through this stretch of dominance. I want to say they're like 500-ish since 2013. And against the rest of the league, the Dodgers are like 250 games over 500. So it's always been a good battle between these two teams. A tie would not be the worst thing in the world for either team, really, because it gives you two chances to win one game as opposed to just, it's not fair. Even though obviously I'm, rooting for the Giants, I still would find it very unfair if that Dodgers team has to play a single elimination game. It's not right. I'm not just saying this because my team is involved in it. I would be saying it no matter what. And I've also been saying it since 2015 when there were three teams in the Central that deserved five game series and two of them had to go to the wildcard game, the 98 win Pirates and the 97 win Cubs. And it wasn't fair then. It really kind of hurt the Pirates in a major way, having to play that wildcard game a few times. And it potentially, I think it would be a bad look for the league if either one of these teams gets bounced in one game.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content, it varies by package. Hey, Phillies fans. This is Dan Wilson with an incredible app for everyone who buys gas and they need to know about it. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25% for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first tank fill up. That's 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code BASEBALL to get up to as much as 50% per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your free bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card or Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50% per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's baseball for 50% per gallon cash back right into your bank account.
And the potential for that to happen is there. Another team just has to score more runs in nine innings. And like you said, let's say these two teams, depending on how this lines up, you really go for it on the final day of the season on Sunday, October 3rd, and then you're forced to play an NL West championship game. So now you're going with your number two starter in basically a one game playoff 163 scenario. And then you have to play a wild card team. Like they're kind of rope-a-doping themselves, or they very well could be. Whereas whoever that secondary wildcard team is actually going to have some time to sit around. So you're right. It is better that they have multiple chances to win the same game. Could also work against them in hindsight. So very, very interesting. Something that as a baseball fan, I'm very interested in. But enough beating around the bush. Let's get down to the real reason we're recording this episode here. And that is the manager of the San Francisco Giants, Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler, who of course managed with the Phillies for 2 years. It was in 2018, 2019, managed them to 80 and 81 win seasons respectively, was not a fan favorite here in Philadelphia, goes to the Giants last year, was right there in the thick of things. I mean, the Giants had half the roster opt out last year and missing guys all, and no one was expected to be, the Giants were not expected to be in it on the final day of the season. It was an expanded playoff system. No one really knew what to make of last year. 60 games, anything can happen. So you can almost write anything off for better or worse that took place last year. Now we're in a 162 game season, and I have been nothing short of amazed, and something I've been monitoring all season long, just because I was never as down on Kapler as anyone. But even if I was, you have to just kind of admire or just take note at the very least of what he's been doing out in San Francisco, but also be taking note of the numbers that some of the guys in the Giants lineup that you would not expect have been putting up. Former Philly Darren Ruff, who was horrible here as we record this on Tuesday, September 21st, has a near 900 OPS on this season. Brandon Crawford has basically learned how to hit and hit very well, I might add, an 894 OPS on the season. Buster Posey is someone I've taken note of because JT Realmuto was the talk of the Phillies offseason, and many labeled him the best catcher in baseball. Buster Posey has silenced any conversation of that, basically, in my opinion. Brandon Belt has had a tremendous season. So they're getting all of these ridiculous years out of guys and a team that was not expected to be in this position. Even, and I think you would agree with this, the most optimistic people around the San Francisco Giants going into the season did not see a, you know, a 100 plus win season. It was supposed to be two teams in the NL West. It's supposed to be the Dodgers and the Padres, certainly not the Dodgers and the Giants. And if the Giants were going to be good, it wasn't going to be potentially best record in baseball good. How much of it is random? How much of it did you see of this coming? And what do you make of the job that Gabe Kapler is doing, who, in my opinion, at least hands down the manager of the year in baseball?
Yeah, it should be unanimous, I would imagine, given, like you're saying, expectations for this team. Most people definitely expected them to be below 500. And you're right, the most optimistic among us, and I would say that I was among them, because there were some real signs of progress last year in the 60-game season. Some of these players you're pointing out, Darren Ruff had a big 2020 as well, as an example, and there were improvements with other guys. Kevin Gausman kind of emerged as a frontline type starter, and he was brought back. So the most optimistic among us, such as myself, I had my bold prediction. Remember, Lockdown wanted us to do a bold prediction. My bold prediction for the Giants in 2021 was that they would go 86-76. And now
they have 11 more wins than that with the 2 weeks to go.
12 to go. I sold them short by maybe 20 wins in my optimistic, you know, outlook for the team. Probably not quite 20, but still close. If they don't win 100 games, it would be a huge letdown at this point. They're going to easily surpass that probably. But yeah, so it's a big story. I mean, like a long story, but I'll try to keep it relatively short. But Gabe Kapler has a big part in this. He, and to me, like, as I was thinking about this before we, you know, met up and started talking about it tonight, the number one thing that I think he's done was he made some really good hires on the on his coaching staff. The hitting coaches that he brought in are kind of modern day hitting coaches, not traditional hitting coaches that historically, you know, were part of baseball organizations for the longest time. We used to say, and rightfully so, that hitting coaches didn't have that much of an impact on hitters. They just kind of supported these players who were already great hitters, obviously, to make it to that level. And they just like offered support, helped them work on things that they wanted to work on. But these days, we look at historically some guys in the recent past, such as Justin Turner and JD Martinez, just as a couple of notable examples, guys who changed their swings with outside instruction. Again, they did not get this instruction from inside their organization. They sought outside instruction, changed their swings, maybe not even drastically, but just some slight changes and a change in philosophy. And they saw massive improvements, even though some of them were not necessarily young, right? And so the Giants, Gabe Kapler has hired these hitting coaches who have brought that type of instruction into the dugout. And in fact, they have three hitting coaches, which is another untraditional thing, because I mean, they all work together to support these players, and they kind of offer different things. And it gives them the philosophy that Kapler brought in was this, you know, at certain colleges and schools and stuff, they talk about the student to faculty ratio. Well, his idea, maybe he said it there too, was to have more coaches to support the players than traditional sizes. So they have a large coaching staff. And I just think Donnie Ecker, Justin Vealey, Dustin Lind, those are the three hitting coaches. They've done such a great job. So when you look at all of these position players doing better suddenly, they'll tell you why. It's because of the work that they've done with these coaches. And, you know, they also have a great front office. So like the stars have kind of aligned here. And also Kapler's in-game management, I think, has been good. And they have like the platooning that they do works to great effect. They have a different lineup for lefties and a different lineup for righties. And their offense is really good now. And they score a lot of runs. They lead the National League, I think, in home runs. And so, I mean, what else can you say? And I know at some point we'll talk about the records of Kapler now versus Kapler in Philly and Kapler in San Francisco versus Girardi in Philadelphia. But anyway, that's kind of the long-winded, hopefully not too long, way to explain what's been going on here.
So I'm going to get into their record differences, Kapler in San Francisco versus Kapler in Philly, Girardi in Philly. And we'll kind of delve into that in a tweet you had the night the Giants clinched a playoff spot. It's already been a week ago now. But I did want to quickly just follow up on the Kapler thing of all of the reports I've read, and certainly I'm not as well read up on the Giants this season or Kapler's in-game decision-making now that he's in San Francisco playing on the West Coast as when he was playing in Philly. But everything I've read and the sense I've gotten all season long is he's still he's in a totally different organization, a totally different city than he was in Philly. You know, Philly, I think we talked about this the last time we crossed over, you know, hardcore, like wants results right away, typical Northeast stereotype, you know, like stereotypical Northeast type of sports town that wants results. And it was always my opinion that too much blame was put on Kapler for organizational failures that had existed before, during, and I think you're now seeing after the fact he leaves, right? And too much was made of, okay, A, he was a first-time manager, and I think he was learning certain aspects on the job. Like everything I've gotten a sense of is that all these things set aside, and I do agree with the sentiment that it was never really his fault. It was really the Phillies organization's fault. But I think that can be independently true of the fact that Gabe Kapler is probably a better manager now in San Francisco than he was in Philadelphia. It's the second time around. He always struck me as a guy who would learn from his mistakes. I've read a number of stories based out of San Francisco that have basically suggested he's going with his gut a little bit more. He's probably more of a player's manager in terms of managing the clubhouse, which I think is a big kind of like intangible aspect of being a major league manager for a 6 month long season, including spring training. And then you're adding potentially postseason, in the case of the Giants this year, postseason appearances. Like a lot of that can't be managed by a computer, let's say. And I'm not trying to sound like the old guy who's like, oh, we got to get rid of analytics in baseball, but there is some sort of balance you have to strike. And if he has struck that balance, I mean, the record shows it apparently a lot better in San Francisco within an organization that probably aligned themselves with his vision as a manager better. That has to certainly result in some of the Giant success we're seeing right now. So my long-winded question is this: how much of it is him? How much of it is just the organization, the talent he has around him? How much of it is Farhan Zaidi, the, you know, obviously the president of the Giants? Like, how much can you, is it just all of these things meshing together in the right place? Is he the number one reason for it, or are there other reasons here? And he's just, you know, in Philly, he was just managing in the absolute wrong place. And in San Francisco, he's managing in the absolute perfect place.
More Locked On Phillies coming right up, but first have to tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're certainly missing out. There's coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My personal favorite, definitely that cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors by now, you can get that mix box where you'll get two of each of those nine flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams in net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, go to Built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. One last time, Built.com, promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. Also have to tell you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field to start yet another football season. Got week three coming up. Full NFL slate, full college slate, of course. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college betting action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100 from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. And when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you will get that promo code, a 50% welcome bonus.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that he's managing in the perfect place, because I just want to point out he was not a popular hire at all here
at the time. That's true. Yeah.
There was a ton of backlash from fans. They, you know, we heard all the stuff that going on in Philadelphia. We knew he was very unpopular there.
And let's be perfectly clear. Bruce Bochy is a tough act to follow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. People were not happy at all. And so the fact that he's earned kind of those people I don't hear from them anymore. People are very pleased with how he's done. But I really do think it is like a perfect mesh of from the top down. And it starts with he has the support of a very competent front office that was given the keys to the kingdom. Ownership does not meddle. I know that ownership did meddle in the case of firing Gabe Kapler in Philadelphia.
And they still do, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Ownership does not meddle here. They just said to Farhan Zaidi, like, you do what you want to do because we believe in you. And he put himself on the line by hiring a guy he knew would be received poorly, just by he had the conviction to say, I truly believe this is the right person for us. And they've earned a ton of credit because of how it's worked. Like, because people didn't agree with that. They were ready with their pitchforks about it, to be perfectly clear about what the reaction was. And the fact that they've done this with a roster that, again, people expected to not only be bad, but like very bad. And so the fact that they're the best team in baseball, they've been the best team in baseball pretty much the entire season. It earns them a ton of credit, obviously. But your point about his management and going more with his gut, he has. And in fact, in the very beginning of the 2020 season, like, he has a bit of a history with like the first few games of a season not going well for him from a perception standpoint. But in the very first few games of 2020 with the Giants, his first games as manager of the Giants, he was like pulling starting pitchers earlier than people wanted them to be pulled. And I would say a lot of that, it was a weird circumstance with the season starting in late July and, you know, the two spring trainings and all that. But the players apparently went to him and told him they wanted to have a longer leash, or at the very least, they wanted to be like talked to about the decision and not just having the decision made without at least giving them a chance to say their piece. And he has adapted. And now Giants starters typically have a longer leash than like other teams the Giants are playing. And another thing is Brandon Crawford was platooned early on and he did not like being platooned. He went to Kapler and said that, and Kapler kind of let him, you know, play against lefties and see if he could do it at least. That was the whole thing, like, see if he can do it. And if he can't, at least he's had the opportunity. And so he's been receptive to feedback from players. And I think that's the key. And he talks all the time about how he has adapted. And honestly, think about it. Like, becoming a major league manager when you've never done it before would be a tough job. And there's media scrutiny and there's, you know, fan scrutiny and there's players you're dealing with. And I think it's pretty common. And this is something Farhan Zaidi said, and I give him all kinds of credit. He's such a smart guy, Farhan Zaidi. But he said managers often have more success their second time around. And he said that when the hiring process began, before they even picked Kapler. But I think we're seeing that. We've seen it in the past, like Joe Torre comes to mind. Somebody else major comes to mind, but I'm not thinking of him off the top of my head. But
it just
Gabe
makes
Kapler
sense.
Comes to mind. Yeah. AJ Hinch was manager in Arizona, and
yeah, no one remembers him for those.
No one remembers that, but they remember Astros. And then Kapler, eventually, maybe no one's going to remember the Phillies. Well, they probably will, but he'll be remembered possibly for success with the Giants and not for 2 years of whatever with the Phillies.
That's for sure. And so that leads us to the tweet I mentioned before, and it's a stat that we've seen variations of throughout the course of the season. You tweeted and it, you know, blew up quite a bit. I believe it was the morning after the Giants clinched a postseason berth that the Phillies under Kapler were 161 and 163, as I mentioned, the 80 and 81 win season respectively. And the Phillies under Girardi were 101-03 as of that point, which was a 493 winning percentage for Girardi, a 497 winning percentage for Kapler. And the Giants under Gabe Kapler, 123-81, a 603 winning percentage. I believe you have some form of updated numbers on this as well, which will lead us to an overall bigger point here.
Yeah, the updated numbers, Kapler, it's gone down a little bit, just a 600 winning percentage, 126 and 84.
Nah, you hate to see that. Yeah, really struggling there. Yeah.
And Girardi, it's more of the same. Like every single time I check on the Phillies, because I look at the standings every day, they are perpetually, I know right now they're a couple games over 500, but perpetually right around 500 or like a game or two below. That is like always where the Phillies are every time I look at the standings for the last several years, even when Kapler was there for the most part. But under Girardi, 104 and 106, a 495 winning percentage, two games under 500. Kapler in Philadelphia, also two games under 500, but in more games, so it's actually a better winning percentage, 497. And again, Girardi, 495. So pretty much the same. And so when you look at that, it really does beg the question, or not even the question, but it makes it pretty clear that it has more to do with the Phillies, not Kapler. Like everything else that makes up the Philadelphia Phillies, it just seems like they're a slightly below 500 organization for the last 4 years. That's kind of what I see when I look at that. And when you look at the Giants, I mean, the one number I didn't include in there was what were the Giants doing before Kapler arrived? And the 2 years prior to Kapler coming, the Giants were 150 and 174, a 463 winning percentage. So the worst of all those numbers were thrown out there. But I mean, yeah, a lot of it is like a perfect marriage of Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler and the coaches he brought in. It's like everybody working together has been what's made the Giants into this. Like, I don't think if you just took Gabe Kapler and put him on a team and nothing else changed, the coaches who were there before were the same, the players were the same, the front office was the same. I don't think he's adding like 40 wins to your team. I think it's a collaboration. Maybe he adds like a couple wins for being kind of new school and making those, you know, 40, 51, 49 decisions that lead to a little bit of an advantage here and there, but it's everybody working together. And I think that's the way to have success as an organization. And maybe that's, you can point to that and say, that's why the Phillies have not had the success that they thought they should have given some of the players they've had. I don't know. Maybe it's the ownership meddling. Maybe it's the coaching staff not adding enough value. I don't know exactly, but that's been the story here.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.